read three more verses with you. They are found in Galatians chapter 2. And I'm reading at verse 19 of Galatians chapter 2, and I want to read verses 19, 20, and 21. Galatians 2 and 19, "For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God." Now please notice these beautiful words. "Who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." In Mr. John Nelson Darby's excellent translation of the Bible, the closing words of Galatians 2 read like this: "Then Christ died for nothing." I have three very simple things to continue the meeting with tonight and close it if the Lord will. I want to speak to you first of all about the Christ who died under the judgment of God. And then I want to tell you that he gave himself for me. But then I have to tell you, if you miss the Savior and you trust in anything less than Christ for salvation, so far as you are concerned, Christ died for nothing. Now I have to be very careful how I handle this last verse for this reason, that the death of the Lord Jesus Christ has infinite value that is eternal. He did not die in vain, my friend. Thank God he died to satisfy the claims of offended justice, and he met every charge, and all who believe on him are justified from all things. So Christ did not die for nothing. But if you miss the Savior, as far as your soul is concerned, Christ has died for nothing. Now, verse 19 will continue what you have just been listening to. In fact, the very language that has been used in the opening part of the meeting tonight, I'm using again, because verse 19 is the sentence pronounced. Verse 20 is the Son crucified. He's the Son of God. Verse 20 is the love appreciated. Verse 20 is the substitute accepted. He gave himself for me. Verse 20 is the faith deposited. Faith in the Son of God. Verse 21 is the grace rejected. And verse 21 is the work despised. When my brother was preaching tonight, he read five times from Luke 16 of a man tormented. Four times tormented in flames. That word tormented is one of the strongest words in all the Bible. Those of you who read the Bible all the time know that the Old Testament was originally written in Hebrew, some of it written in Aramaic, a small part of it. But then about 300 years before Christ was born, the Old Testament was translated into the same language the New Testament was written in. That is the Greek language. And whenever the translators were translating from the Hebrew into the Greek language, they came to a word in Isaiah chapter 53, and it says, "He was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities." And they worked, as I understand it, over the translation of the word wounded, and they came up with the very word that is found five times in Luke 16, "He was tormented." Could I tell you that that text up on the wall tells me that the Lord Jesus did not come to condemn the world? But I want to tell you tonight, he came to be condemned. Philip T. Bliss wrote those beautiful words, "Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior." But it's this verse that has impressed me today: "Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood." Hallelujah. I say it most reverently. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Verse 19 of Galatians 2 says, I through the law died. Can I make this very clear and plain, as simple as I can make it tonight? Here's a man who stands before the bar of justice. He stands at the throne of God, not the throne of men. And as he stands before God, he is guilty. He is condemned. And the sentence is pronounced. That's really what verse 19 means. The sentence of judgment, the sentence of death, is pronounced upon the guilty sinner for his sin. And the holy God pronounces the sentence. How is it pronounced? It is through the law. It is through God's holy law, which reveals his holy character. We preach law, not as a way to heaven, for it's not a way to heaven. But we preach law to show you that you stand before God guilty in his sight. Romans chapter 3 and verse 19 tells us that the law was given, that every mouth open to defend self might be closed, and the whole world might be seen to be guilty before God. My friend, you stand before God tonight, not before us. We do not judge you. We cannot search your heart. We have never looked into the book of life in heaven. But we can tell you from this book that I and you, as sinners, are condemned before the power of divine justice. I, through the law, died. But what does he mean? He means the sentence was pronounced and the sentence was carried out. And he actually died under the condemnation. He was guilty. And he died under the judgment pronounced on him. But he didn't die, because he says in the next verse, nevertheless I live. So how could he have died? Well, he died all right. The sentence was carried out. But not on the person of the guilty sinner. But the sentence was carried out on the person of the Savior. That is the gospel. That's one of the grandest gospel verses in all the Bible. High through the law. Died. The sentence was carried out, but not on me. I deserved it. I deserved to be in hell. Could I say that any more plainly than that? I know that. I found that out the night I was saved. I've learned it more thoroughly as the years have passed. Did you think these Christians think that they're better than other people? Do you know that people that are going to heaven know they're bad enough to be in hell? My dear friend, I'll never be there. I deserved the judgment thoroughly and completely, but there was a Savior who stepped into my place, and he bore the judgment, bearing shame and scoffing rude. In my place, condemned, he stood. I can illustrate this for you by a simple story, a true story. Mr. McBain and I were preaching in Ohio many years ago, and we were asked to go to the prison in the town to visit a young man. His name was Samuel Tannehill. Samuel was charged with murder. It's a very sad and tragic story. Let me tell you that when we brought a Bible into the prison to give to Samuel, when he looked at the Bible, he said, I've never seen inside a Bible in all my life. And we read that lovely verse with him, and many, many other verses from the Bible. Now, I know that these kind of stories don't impress people too well, because after all, if a man is condemned to death, he's surely going to get religious, isn't he? Well, wait till I tell you the story of Samuel. We visited him frequently. We found him reading the Bible many times when we came into his cell. And Samuel Tannehill, as a lost and guilty sinner, trusted in the Savior. Oh, you say he hoped maybe he would get his sentence commuted and he turned religious. Wait a moment. And Samuel Tannehill got saved. He had a court-appointed lawyer who had put up a pretty good legal case. And Samuel Tannehill asked to see the lawyer. He said, I committed the crime. I am guilty of murder. I deserve to die, and I am not accepting the case you have built for me. It's a long story, but let me tell you the end of it very quickly. Eventually, the courts accepted the fact that Samuel would not excuse his crime to himself. We visited him day after day. They took him to a death cell in Columbus, Ohio. There came a morning when Samuel walked out of his death cell and down the corridor. He was strapped into an electric chair, and his ransomed soul went to be with Christ. He refused to be excused for his crime. He died under the penalty of the law. This is what is of great interest to me. The last few days we never saw Samuel, but as soon as he had died, they said, "We don't have any more claim. You can come and take the body and have a funeral." And that's what we did. You see, they had claim on him until the sentence was carried out. But as soon as the sentence was carried out, they said, "We're all done now. You can take over." You see that? Do you see when the sentence is carried out and the law is satisfied, there is no more condemnation? You see? That's what this verse says. I, through the law, died through the law. The law was satisfied. Christ has died in the place of the sinner, and the claims of the law have been fully met. The demands of justice have been satisfied by the Christ who died. Oh, what a death it was. This was the Son of God who was crucified. Listen to the words of verse 20. The Son of God, the Lord from heaven, the one who made the worlds. The Son of God loved me. I don't understand that, friend. I'm not going to try to explain it to you tonight. I'm only preaching it to you. But I believe it with all my heart and soul. It's the greatest of wonder to me that he could love me. But he did. And so deep was that love, so great that love, that he left heaven because he loved me. And he went to Calvary. He hung on the tree and suffered there. And he loved me. That's the greatest of wonder. He loved me. I appreciate that love tonight. From my heart of hearts, I thank God for that love. He loved me. It has to be personal, you see. It isn't enough to say that it's for the world and for everybody. Although that's how you get in. You're in the world. And therefore, that love goes out to you. You're the whosoever tonight if you'll only take it. But it has to be taken. It has to be personal. You see, I can't preach this into you. I can testify that it's true for me. This is really the difference between preaching propitiation and testifying to substitution. If that's too big of a sentence for you, then let me explain it like this. This is the difference between what satisfies the throne of God and what reaches me as a guilty sinner before God tonight. I can testify to this fact. He loved me, and he gave himself for me. And I can tell you the very moment when I first understood that, and I took it in all its wonder. You know, there was a son in Deuteronomy chapter 21. It's a terribly sad story. It was a son who would not listen to the voice of his mother or his father. He was totally rebellious. He would not hear. He would not listen. And finally, the day came when the mercy of God reached its end. Mind you, this was a day of law. It was a day of judgment. And that son who would not hear the voice of his father or his mother, who was utterly, totally, completely rebellious, he was taken to the elders of the city, and he was taken outside the city, and they withdrew from him a stone's cast, and they stoned him until he was dead. He was a rebellious son, and he died under judgment. But there was a son who was the delight of his father's heart, who never once grieved him, who gave him joy from eternity. God gave his only begotten son. Not a rebellious son, but the Holy Son of God. He was crucified. Men took him and they nailed him to the tree. A stark, cruel death of agony. Did you know what the Savior suffered? No, you don't. I don't know what he suffered. I've been trying to fathom it all the days of my Christian experience. And when eternity dawns and I see him face to face, and I look upon the one who was wounded for my transgressions, I'm going to say the half has not been told. And eternity will never unfold at all. He suffered. He was condemned. He was crucified. He's the Son of God. And the rest of that passage in Deuteronomy 21 makes it crystal clear that there is a contrast between the rebellious son who died and the Son of God who died. Because the close of that chapter says, if you hang a man on a tree, don't leave his body all night upon the tree, for he that is hanged is accursed of God. This is Galatians now. We're reading from Galatians. What does Galatians 3 and 13 say? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He became a curse for us. And then it goes back to Deuteronomy 21, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Oh, he hung on a tree, friend. That mean anything to you tonight? They hanged him on a tree. They nailed my Lord upon the tree and left him dying there. And he suffered. He was crucified. And he suffered not just at the hands of men. Do you see what verse 19 says? I through the law died for the law. You know who died? The Lord Jesus. Under what did he die? The condemnation of God. He died under God's judgment. That's why I won't be in hell. That's why the torment and the fire mine eyes will never see. Because the Son of God loved me, and he gave himself for me. That's substitution. That's really the meaning of salvation. This is the story as simply as it can be preached. He gave his life. The Bible says that he laid it down. In fact, it says that no man could take his life. And that's a great mystery about the cross, because it actually tells us that men slew the Lord Jesus. We are told that he was to be taken by the hands of men and crucified and slain. We are actually told in the book of the Acts, in the early preaching after his resurrection, that men took him and they killed him. In fact, when you get to Acts chapter 7, you're actually told that they murdered him and did that. That's the human race. That's the race we belong to. And then we complain about the sufferings of our world. And this is the world that took the Creator and crucified. While that is all true as it has been said and written, that man couldn't take his life. He had authority to lay down his life. You know, every death is a tragedy. I sat beside a dying father a few years ago. I thought, I'm ready for my father to go to heaven. He's 92 years of age, and he's lived a full and a happy life. He's dying in the assurance of his sins forgiven, and I'm ready for him to leave earth and go home. I wasn't ready. When he died, it was a tragedy to me. It shook me. Death. Terrible thing. Oh, my dear friend, let me explain to you, if I can tonight, that the Lord Jesus gave himself. I know he laid down his life. I know he shed his blood. I know it was voluntary. I know he poured out his life. But listen. Listen to what it says. There are a number of verses in the Bible that say this. We are told what he gave. What was it? Himself. He couldn't have given more. All that he is. All that he was. All that he had. He gave himself. Don't think of the cross as limited suffering. Don't think of the cross as so many pains for so many sins. Don't think of it like that, friend. I want to tell you, it was no business act. It wasn't a matter of an accounting, and God said there's so many sins been committed, and this is so much suffering for that many sins. What the Lord Jesus suffered on the cross is unmeasured and immeasurable. It's infinite. That's why it has such value. He loved me. I wonder if there's a soul here tonight, and you're refusing this. Because I have a very solemn message tonight to preach to you. I have a very, very strong conviction that there might be someone in these meetings, and you, friend, are having your opportunity to be saved now. And every person I've ever heard tell their story of salvation, they have very clearly said, I believe that was my time. I believe that was the time for me to be saved. And I've heard this several times this week from the lips of men and women. If I had missed Christ then, I would have missed him forever. If I had not gotten saved when I got saved, I would have ended in hell. That's plain enough. And if you miss Christ, so far as you are concerned, Christ has died for nothing. Do you see the contrast? Do you see the mighty contrast? Christ died for me. He gave himself for me. Or Christ died for nothing. It's of no value to you, whatever. You'll leave this meeting tonight, and your attitude toward the Christ of Calvary is one or the other. There's no middle path. There's no neutral ground. Neutral you cannot be. My friend, it is either that Christ on that cross was willing to be condemned in your place, or you will be condemned for endless ages. It's sin that causes condemnation. It was sin that caused the Savior's condemnation. It was my sin for which he was condemned. And I'll never be condemned. Listen to my grand verse. I call it mine, but you can call it yours. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes God that sent me hath everlasting life. Now here it is. Shall not come into condemnation. Did you hear about that judgment tonight? Did you hear about a place where there's a man tormented in flames? Down through the ages comes the voice of that man as a solemn, searching warning to you. A man in the flames of hell. And he says, lest they also come into this place of torment. But you don't need to be there. The Lord Jesus was condemned instead. Trust him tonight. Oh, friend, don't miss the Savior. Whatever you miss in this world, don't miss Christ. Don't miss him. Don't turn your back on him. Because there's only two alternatives. He loved me. He gave himself for me. Christ died for nothing. One or the other. He received him tonight. Father, bless thy holy word. We feel, Lord, that in preaching on such a truth, such high and holy truth, that we are most inadequate. Yet, it is the word of God. God bless it and use it. And save some precious souls tonight. This Friday night, Lord, what a tragedy if some should be passing the Savior by for the last time. If there should be some who will go out of this meeting and go out into eternity. And, oh God, thou dost know we have preached in meetings like this, where people have gone out, and gone out to eternity without Christ. God have mercy. Save this night, we do pray. Thank you for all who have come. God bless them for time and eternity. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Number 32. Down from the glory the Savior came. Down to the cross and the death of shame, gazing in wonder, I there exclaim, Jesus died for me. Let me just say this to some of you who have been coming to the meetings and are not yet saved. Please don't presume these meetings are going to go on and on. We are announcing one more week of meetings. This may be your time. What then that you'll seriously consider where you will be for all eternity. If you have questions to ask, we would be glad to answer them.